Merkel Media.
Spazzing on that ass. Spazzing on that ass.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Frazita!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate your support. We go out as a radio program as well. You can go to Fringe FM and check us out. We're Mondays and Fridays over there. If you're interested, I've got a cool merchandise store. You can get some gear that'll trigger people at your work. Maybe convince people in your family to stop talking about you while you're wearing your Project Bluebeam t-shirt to events and so forth. Check it out. The link is in the description for that. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. Oh my God, we couldn't do it without the amazing support of them. We've got My Patriot Supply. They are building out 4-week supply and 3-month supplies of storable foods. You should probably take a look at that. They built a landing page for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can take a look. You can get everything sorted out in probably 10 minutes. Get your food situation accounted for. If there's somebody in your life, maybe they live out of state, you can't really look out for them, but you want to send them some food in advance, that would be very nice of you. I mean, look, supply chain issues, food processing plants, fertilizer, Bill Gates, World Economic Forum, China ports, Los Angeles ports, trains derailing. You know, we've Russia not able to export things. it's uncertainty all over the place. And that's life. And we're not trying to pretend like there's not uncertainty in life. But when you know that this is happening, when you see this happening well in advance, you got to do something about it. You got to get yourself prepared for what's coming. I hope it doesn't come. I mean, I hope it doesn't come. It's coming, but I hope it doesn't come as badly as we think it will. But just to be safe, think about it proactively. Take care of this stuff well in advance. You don't want to be the last guy that figured out, oh no, I'm going to need some storable food. And look, again, not that this is not meant to be an investment advice, but we are watching the dollar inflate, maybe at some point hyperinflate. And we've got, so we know that the value of the dollar is shrinking. We've got storable food, which we know is going to become very popular at some point. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some people out there that are trading some of their soon to be worthless Federal Reserve notes into storable food just to have, maybe to barter with, maybe to sell. I don't know. I don't want to gouge anybody out there. I mean, but look, you see this stuff in advance, maybe you get rewarded for it. So if you're in a position where you want to stock up on storable food, this is the place to do it. You get coupons in there. Just go to the website. It'll automatically take $50 off of a 4-week supply and $150 off of a 3-month supply. You're going to need the stuff. Get it now. Also, thanks to C60 Purple Power. They've been fantastic for us. They are the most powerful antioxidant known to man. Did you know that? These guys, these scientists discovered this carbon 60 atom back in the late 80s and won the Nobel Prize for it. It's really important. It's several hundred times more powerful than any other antioxidant out there. It's something you'll never hear about on the nightly news. They're never going to tell you about it. It does amazing things. It's a free radical sponge. It optimizes mitochondrial function. It promotes a balanced immune response. It assists with mild memory loss associated with aging. If you're having trouble remembering where you left your car keys and everything, and this is happening more and more, as long as you can remember to go to shopc60.com and use the promo code macro before you forget that, then you might be able to get yourself a product that will help to improve your memory loss. It also boosts energy, mental clarity, and stamina. It supports athletic performance and recovery. It's really good. I take it every day. It takes 5 seconds is being generous. It takes 5 seconds. As long as it takes you to fill up a spoon, that's how long it takes. So you got no excuses, people. I'm telling you, this stuff is out there. Shopc60.com, promo code macro. Links are in the description. You're never going to hear about this stuff on nightly news, probably because it's really good for you and they don't want you to be taken care of in any way, shape, or form. But we say, screw them. We're going to be paying attention. We're going to be acting proactively instead of reactively. We're going to beat them at their own game because we have to. And I think this episode is going to be, it's going to be both frustrating and kind of cathartic. The current situation that we're seeing in the United States, and it's not limited to the United States, it's happening everywhere, but it reminded me of the story of the emperor who had no clothes, and only the little boy could see that, like, look, this guy's got nothing. They say they've got everything. They say they're doing this. They say they're doing that. They say they're so powerful. But the guy's walking around without any clothes on. And you, as a good citizen, your duty and obligation is to pretend like you don't notice this. So it's become a theme, not just for the Biden administration, but though they're really kind of taking it to new heights. But the theme is don't believe your eyes. If they can get you to a position where you don't believe what you're seeing, you just don't believe it. It just can't possibly be real. You're looking at Joe Biden out there who's in mental decline. And it's obvious. And I'm not trying to pile. I'm not trying to be a jerk to an older person that is reaching the end of their cycle. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to that. We should be so lucky that we die of old age, that we get to be Joe Biden's age, So I'm not trying to pile on in an age-related reasons. I'm piling on because you are instructed not to acknowledge that he is failing. Physically, mentally, you are told that's not happening. You're told that the emperor is wearing all of his clothes. Bro, the emperor is wearing Depends, and we can see it. Everybody sees it. We're all the little boy that's going, the emperor has no clothes. But it's more than that. It's the empire itself that has no clothes. But when you've got the mainstream media to project a skewed version of reality onto those screens, you will get a certain percentage of the population to believe, that everything's fine. I wish everything were fine. I don't like there being problems and drama and chaos. I'd prefer if everything was really boring. I wish, we all know about my dreams of doing football podcasts where I don't have to talk about some of the darker aspects. Man, I wish that for this show, every week, I was struggling for what I was going to talk about. I wish. That'd be so great. You know what that, you know, it'd be hard for me, but it'd be great for everybody else. It would mean, well, there aren't just obvious flaws all over the place. The wheels aren't coming off. Everything's good. We're fine. We're finally turning. We've turned it around. We're finally, everything's great. Things are so much better. I hope so. I hope we get to that point where I have to like go through my books and bring up topics that are like, hey, remember when we thought everything was going to be? I'd love that. But that's not reality, unfortunately. We've watched the trust in the media evaporate, rightly so. These people deserve it. They the fact that anybody's watching is a miracle. But statistics are out now showing that trust in media in newspapers is 16%. And what are newspapers? And that television news is 11%. So it still means that 1 out of 9 people that are in a room believes the television news. And frankly, that is one too many. Nobody should believe the nightly news. Nobody. If you haven't figured it out by now that this is a like performance art and part of a much broader agenda, and that these people that you see, whether it's local TV, whether it's national TV, national news, these are actors. These are people that have great reading comprehension skills, maybe no ability to actually dig into the stories that they're presenting, but they can read the teleprompter quite well. And that's a skill. You could practice and get better at it, but it's really just an exercise in transcribing one version of reality that they're reading off of a page, a fake reality that they're given by their producers, who are told what to say by their bosses. And then sending that out across the airwaves and presenting that as reality. That job has always been, it's always been a bit fake, but now it's very difficult. Imagine being a newscaster right now and having to go out there and with a straight face, tell the viewers, everything's fine. Inflation is fine. There's inflation. I mean, what are you talking about? There's no inflation. Well, yeah, there's inflation, but it's transitory inflation, which means it's coming from there, it's coming through us, and it's going out the other side, and then it's transitioning to somewhere else, maybe to another gender. I don't know. Well, then they go, well, yeah, inflation is here, but it's the orange guy's fault. And everyone's like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, okay, they did print up all that money under his administration. Well, but is that really the reason why there's inflation? Like, well, no, there's inflation. I guess we have to admit there is inflation, but it's Putin's fault. Oh, it's China's fault. Oh, it's the farm. It's the petroleum industry's fault that gas prices are so high because they're gouging everybody at the pump. They probably are, but still, we understand the supply chain of events, and we know how it comes through, and we know that a lot of people touch it. If they can get you to not believe your own eyes, then they've done something special. So, look, I want to pose a question, and it's going to sound preposterous and insane, but I'm asking this very seriously, based on the fact that I have a little bit more of an understanding of some of the real deep secrets that the United States government carries than say like the average guy on the street. I'm not trying to say I know it all, of course, but you can't write the books I write or talk about things I talk about without knowing some unusual and obscure things. So I ask this question: is Joe Biden even alive? Now again, before you laugh and change the channel or whatever, think about this for a second. Now, we know that they're lying to us about all sorts of things. We know that they've relocated like the Oval Office. They don't film in there anymore. They film in this soundstage. We know that there's been a lot going on in that soundstage where the Biden doll or Joe Biden, whoever that is, got an injection, which totally wasn't saline or anything. I don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe he really did get the vaccine. Maybe he's so dumb he believes in that. I don't know. But my question is, look, I've seen at least six different Joe Biden's pictures. That mean son of a bitch in the 90s who's screaming about we got to expand the prisons and everything, that's not the same guy that is the president of the United States. I'm sorry. It's not. It's not the same human being. Might not even be a human being. I mean, if we're going to take this to some levels, I've got Freeman Fly coming on. We're going to talk about clones pretty soon. But I'm serious. Who's Joe Biden? Have you seen the pictures? Have you seen like the six pictures, the compilation pictures that they're rolling out? Those aren't the same guys. Those aren't the same person. And I know that there's body doubles and there's stage doubles and there's Saddam Hussein had nine doubles and maybe that was one of the guys that got hanged. I don't know. And we've seen Hillary Clinton's really piss poor double who was like 3 inches taller than her. Like, guys, I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, but you guys over there at the Culture Factory, when you're going to make an exact replica of a person, you should make them the same size, like height wise too. I don't know. Just an idea. But I'm being sort of half serious about the Joe Biden thing. It physically is not the same person from the 90s. I'm telling you that right now. I'm being 100% serious about. It's not the same guy. We've got earlobe issues, we've got nose issues, we've got hair issues, we've got eye issues. It's not the same person. So who are we talking to? Or who is shitting his pants with the Pope? I think that's the real question everyone wants to know. So because it matters. Think about this for a second. If they're lying to you about who the emperor is, forget that he has no clothes on. We know he's got no clothes on. Who's the emperor? That's not the guy we know. I mean, look, I don't like any version of Joe Biden. I don't like the 90s version. I don't like the guy that has the fake teeth. I don't like the guy who can't, you know, hold his keep his bowels together. I don't like any of these people. I don't like the guy that's texting with his son and his son is calling him Pedo Pete and everything. These are not people that I like. But it's a symptom of dying empire. When you have to resort to things like this, when you have to resort to like television tricks, like we're at the White House, we're at the White House here. And you're like, no, you're not. You're like, well, we're at the Oval Office here at the White House. And you're like, no, you're not. You're not. You know how I know you're not? Because I'm looking out the window of the Oval Office and it's a sunny day. And I know that it's snowing in Washington, D.C. So what the fuck are you talking about? Where are you? Who is this? What am I watching? What's going on here? Am I watching a made-for-television documentary series, a LARP of Joe Biden season one of the president played by Steve Smith? Hired actor, 79-year-old hired actor, looks kind of sort of like him. They got a really well done CIA mask on him. Like, what the fuck am I watching? Am I watching deepfakes? Because let me, again, not to give these maniacs ideas, to go along with making your clones the same height. You also, when making the clones the same height or bringing in an imposter to play the role, it also helps if the person you bring in is actually functioning and knows what they're talking about. The Biden that we see is a photocopied version of a human being. Somebody that's been photocopied and then they took that copy and then made a photocopy of that. And then they took that copy and made a photocopy of that. And they go, yeah, good enough. That's Joe Biden. He's good enough. He'll do. And you know why he'll do? Because what's the alternative? you're going to bring in the Kamala clone or the Kamala robot? Or I think she's a real person. I mean, real dumb and super annoying and not there on her merits and everything. But I mean, if you created a clone that was Kamala Harris, you would most definitely have kept the receipt and asked for your money back. There's just no way. You'd be like at the clone factory and they give you the Kamala doll. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? I'm not paying for this. This one doesn't even talk. This one can't stop laughing. What's wrong with the clone? It won't stop laughing. There's nothing funny going on. I'm talking about a war in Syria and this thing won't stop cackling. Can you like fix it or grind it up and give me a new one or something? Like, no, you would never accept that. There's something very wrong with Kamala Harris, but I am of the opinion that she is herself a real person. Or, you know, I mean, hey, let me rephrase that. I believe that she is an actual human being. There's nothing very real about her. So maybe real person isn't the best description, but I believe that she is a functioning human being. Who may become the president of the United States. And I don't know whether I find that to be the most American thing ever, or like a sign that Armageddon is coming. Well, I'll tell you what, Meta, otherwise known as Facebook, has created an artificial intelligence program called Sphere. And what that's doing is that is going around banning all the truth by crawling the web and deleting real news stories. Now, when I say real news stories, I mean news stories that like the alternative media is putting out that are actually true, not this nonsense that ABC and CNN and all these groups and Fox News put out. So again, I ask you, why the need to control all this information? I mean, if the alternative media is just lying their brains out and it's all misinformation and disinformation, then shouldn't that be obvious? Shouldn't it be apparent on its face that it's terrible information and not worthy? Like, they don't go around and censor the news about Bigfoot and UFOs. Well, I guess maybe UFOs now, but Loch Ness Monster. You can find if you find a chupacabra in your backyard and you capture it and everything, that and you do a 8-hour YouTube video on it and subsequent articles that you write and post everywhere, they'll let that stuff stay up forever. They don't care about that. But God forbid you discover one of the Pfizer documents that they didn't want you to see and you post that on Twitter, they'll kick you off. So you have to control the news. When you're in a situation like the empire has no clothes, you have to control the news. Because again, if there's a leak of truth in an empire of lies, that truth is going to stand out like a sore thumb and everybody's going to gravitate towards it because we inherently have a feeling about what is true and what is not. Not all, we're not, you know, human lie detectors or anything like that. But there is something to be said for having a feeling about something. So focus on the nonsense, never the real issues. And we see this. We see nonsense becoming a big deal all of a sudden. All of a sudden, things that were never anything are like cancel-worthy crimes. And I bring you two cancel-worthy crimes that you are going to want to fact-check me on because they sound so stupid and so unimportant that you're going to go, I feel like he's making this up. Spoiler alert. I'm not making this up. Beyoncé. Speaking of clones, speaking of glitching out at Brooklyn Nets games, Beyonce had to remove the line. It's going to be so great for me saying this and then people cutting it up and using it for years and years. Spazzing on that ass, spazzing on that ass. Do you know why she had to change spazzing on that ass? Well, let me tell you that it wasn't just her. It wasn't the queen bee, Beyonce, who was paraded in front of the woke mob, but there was another one too, and it's Lizzo. that big fatty who's promoting diabetes. She had to change as well. Hold my bag, bitch. Hold my bag. Do you see this shit? I'm a spaz. Do you know, you notice the common denominator? Spaz. Do you know why they had to remove the term? You're like, spazzing on that ass, spazzing on that ass. Is it because she said the word ass? No. It's because she said the word spaz. And do you know why she had to remove the word spaz from her song? Because it's ableist against people that have involuntary spasms and can't control themselves. I'm not kidding. I'm being 100% serious. Lizzo had to change it as well. Hold my bag, bitch. Not hold my bag, bitch. Hold my bag, bitch. Hold my bag. Do you see this shit? I'm a spaz. They both had to change. They had to come out and announce that they had to apologize for being ableist, for using the word spaz, because it was insensitive to people that have involuntary spasms, and it was ableist. And I'm being serious. That's where we are. That welcome to planet Earth. These are the things that are important. So you know we're at the end of empire. You know it. If you don't know it, well, might I suggest a 398-page book, Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, by me and Jeff Berwick. It's not limited to the American Empire either. I mean, we saw in the Roman times too, it's used, that it just devolved into nonsense and debauchery and crazy shit that towards the end, the wheels come off. Everybody knows it's over. It's over. When you have to go back to your album, Beyonce, which, by the way, let's be honest, the four horses of the apocalypse and all that stuff. I mean, Bill Cooper would be rolling over in his driveway if he heard this bullshit. I'll tell you. New York Times headline. Not that anybody's reading the New York Times anymore, but this is an actual headline from them. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping in the fight against misinformation. Could you imagine being the person that wrote that article and putting your name on it and submitting it to your boss? I can't. Stanley Milgram, who did the Milgram experiment, he said that only 20% of people have critical capacity, is what he said. So 4 out of 5 people that you run across on a daily basis are going to be incapable of critical thought. 1 out of 9 people are going to, or according to the stats, still believe in television news. I mean, some people are waking up to it. So this is where you wind up. So I want to talk about a tactic that the empire uses when they're losing control of things. It might sound minor on the surface. It might not feel like the most egregious crime. But it is very devious because of its implications and how much damage you can actually do with this. I think when you hear about the government doing something really nefarious, you know, at least my mind, I go to like, oh, are they creating like robot dogs with machine guns mounted to it? Yes, of course they are. But, you know, that's where I go. But this is more subtle and yet probably more dangerous than robot dogs with machine guns on them. And that is the changing of language, and specifically with regard to what we went through with COVID. And we're starting to see it now with recession and things like that. I'll get to that in a minute. But we're watching them change words, not because the words as they currently stand are incorrect. It's actually because they are correct. They just don't want you to think that way anymore. So they change the words. They can't fix the problem. They have to change the definition of the problem. So, as an example, herd immunity Do you remember this? The World Health Organization said that in June 9th of 2020, this is the definition of herd immunity. Herd immunity is the indirect protection from an infectious disease that happens when a population is immune either through vaccination or immunity developed through previous infections. Okay? They changed it, though. November 13th, right before the shots came out. 2020, right before the shots came out. They went, the World Health Organization decided, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Everybody's dying. What are we going to do? Hey, let's change some words around how we define this pandemic. Great idea. How many lives will that save? Maybe our jobs? In the middle of the most dangerous and deadly pandemic in the history of mankind. November 13th, 2020. Right in the middle of it. We're getting into winter. Shit's about to get crazy. Oh my God. Everybody's going to die. What are we going to do? World Health Organization, please help us. What are you doing? What is your first action going to be? We're going to change the definition of herd immunity. It now reads, herd immunity, also known as population immunity, is a concept used for vaccination, in which a population can be protected from a certain virus if a threshold of vaccination is reached. Herd immunity is achieved by protecting people from a virus, not by exposing them to it. Oh wait, so you were wrong all this time? The World Health Organization, you guys were saying that in your previous definition, that it's when a population is immune, either through vaccination or immunity developed through previous infections. And now you're saying that it's a concept used for vaccination and the population can be protected only if a threshold of vaccination is reached. Nothing about previous infections anymore. Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? That's weird. It's weird that they changed it. So the previous, you know how we all grew up with chicken pox and all that shit? Well, if you get infected with chicken pox, then you build up a natural immunity due to a previous infection, and then you don't get it anymore. Remember all that stuff? Remember all that crustaceans? Yeah, but that just all went out the window November 13th of 2020, when the World Health Organization just up and changed science on everybody and said, well, actually, it's only if a threshold of vaccination is reached and herd immunity is achieved by protecting people from a virus, not by exposing them to it. So which is it? You're either lying then or you're lying now. Because the second definition is vastly different from the first. And you used the first for a long, long time. So somebody's lying. Somebody in your organization is lying. I would suggest a lot of people in their organization is lying. I would suggest that the World Health Organization is built on a foundation of lies. And I would be correct in saying that they are under the umbrella of the United Nations, which is a globalist depopulation one world government front group that was funded by David Rockefeller and is in place to destroy humanity and create a one world government. Not my words. It's in their writings. You can go read it. We've been over and over this. So it's just interesting that now herd immunity only comes from vaccination on November 13th, 2020, right before they're about to roll out the vaccines. Speaking of vaccines, they changed the name of that too. Because that's normal and necessary when you're in the middle of a pandemic. Let's start changing definitions around. Vaccine was a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. Now, a vaccine is a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. It's a preparation now. What does it prepare you to do? Unleash mRNA technology all throughout your body. What else is it preparing you to do? So again, totally normal to be changing the definitions of these things when you're in the middle of a pandemic that didn't go off the way they thought it would, didn't kill the number of people that they thought it would, thankfully. What didn't kill 65 million people like the SPARS pandemic document said? Although it's not over yet, we'll see. Something tells me the cure is worse than the disease. And by disease, I mean a virus with a 99.98% survivability and a median death age of 80 years old. That's some black plague you've got there. It's more like a mocha plague. It's not really killing everybody. In fact, it's not killing all that many people as compared to normal numbers of deaths. But of course, that information was suppressed by the corporate horror media because you can't have a pandemic that scares the hell out of everybody when the numbers don't add up. So when they changed the terminology of vaccine, it doesn't produce immunity. It doesn't protect from that disease. Now it says a preparation that's used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. But in that previous definition, it said a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity. And they took that out. Do you know why they took to produce immunity out before they unfurled the COVID-19 vaccines on the world? Of course you know, because it doesn't produce immunity. Because they don't work like that. It's gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. Hell, it wouldn't even be called a vaccine in the first place if it wasn't for the emergency use authorization, which made it so that they could legally call it a vaccine. Had it not been for that designation, because there were other treatments for it, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, those things that would have punched a hole and made it ineligible to become an emergency use authorization designation. You can only have that designation if there are no other cures. There's nothing else that will work. So when you have hydroxychloroquine, when you have ivermectin, and they're like, these work. Those have to be hidden by these maniacs, because if you know that they're there, or a case can be made that they're effective, and they are, and a case was made and they do work, then you blow a hole in the emergency use authorization component of this. And then there goes the forcing of the military. There goes the forcing of the airline pilots. There goes the forcing of the schools. There goes everything. So you have to change the name of what this injection is. It's not, they didn't call it gene therapy. That's what it is. They had to call it something else. They had to call it a vaccine. Doesn't fit the characteristics of a vaccine. So they changed the definition of what a vaccine is. They removed the part about immunity. And they also said protecting that person from that disease. There's no mention of protecting that person from that disease. Do you know why they changed it from protecting that person from that disease? Because it doesn't protect that person from that disease. And they knew it. They knew it. They knew it at least on November 13th, 2020, and more than likely before that. I would say years before that. But they took the extraordinary step in the middle of the most deadly pandemic in the world that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. Bodies, you remember that when the bodies were just stacked up out on the sidewalk? Like, you go take the trash out once a week and you'd have to drag your neighbor. Remember when all those bodies, oh wait, no, that never happened. Never happened. Yeah, we saw the China videos. That was bullshit. And then they did something that was really dirty. They said, they sent a letter to doctors saying, we want to send you some tips on language that works to improve vaccine acceptance. It's called a communications cheat sheet. Someone, you know, I got it. Someone sent it to me. So what they say in this is they're talking to doctors and they're going, you need to tailor your message for your audience. Americans' perceptions about vaccines and their safety differ by political party, race, age, and geography. Explain the benefits of getting vaccinated, not just the consequences of not doing it. So it goes on and on and on. And she says, here are some words that you can use. So use these words more and use these other words less. So use these words more. The benefits of taking it. Don't use the consequences of not taking it. Use these words, getting the vaccine will keep you safe. Don't say getting the vaccine is the right thing to do. Use words like a return to normal instead of certainty and predictability. Use words like your family and medical experts instead of your community and scientists. It goes on and on. Use the term medical researchers instead of drug companies. Why do you not want them to use drug companies? Is it because all the major drug companies are convicted felons that have been found guilty in courts of law for committing felonies? Is that why you don't want them to use the term drug companies? Because it's a criminal cartel that have all been arrested and found guilty and paid billions of dollars in fines? Yeah, I wouldn't want you talking about the drug companies either. I would also say, make sure you don't say drug cartels because that's what they are. And it'll, you know, have a negative effect. It might make the Sinaloa cartel look bad. We don't want to do that. There'll be heads showing up in your bed, if you know what I mean. When you have to control the language, this is a tacit admission that the wheels are falling off your lives. You simply do not need to do this when you're telling the truth, when you're being intellectually honest, when you're telling the whole story. You don't have to come up with wiggle words like use safety instead of security. Use advanced and groundbreaking, not historic. Use vaccination instead of injections and inoculation. Use America's leading experts, not the world's leading experts. Because, like they said in the first paragraph, Americans' perceptions about vaccines and their safety differ by political party. If you want to get those Republicans, you need to say, this is America's leading experts that are saying this vaccine's safe. Don't talk about the world's leading. Fuck the world. We're America. Like, they've thought of this. They thought of this. They thought of it enough to put it in writing. So, It's a tactic, okay? And this is what you do when you're losing control of the narratives. You try to find words that you can manipulate. Fully vaccinated. What's fully vaccinated mean to you? I bet you it means something different today than it meant a year ago. Let's see how the definition of vaccinated has changed, shall we? According to CDC, aka the Ministry of Truth. So before 2015, so pre-Trump, vaccination was defined as this: injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent the disease. Now from 2015 to 2021, so from last year of Obama to last summer, they changed it. They changed the definition of vaccination. It now doesn't mention preventing the disease at all. Up to from 2015 to 2021, the definition of vaccination was this: the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Interesting. They put immunity back in there for 6 years, but then they had to make another change. September of 2021 to now, the definition has changed yet again. The new definition of vaccination is the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. It used to be prevent, then it was immunity, now it's just protection. Why on earth would you do that? Again, September 2021. This is the main, you're coming off a summer in which you were offering Talladega laps and Krispy Kreme donuts and you got to get everybody vaccinated. It's funny that you guys chose that time to alter the term vaccination. It went from before 2015, injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent the disease. Two, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. No mention of killed or weakened infectious organism. Isn't that funny? You know why? Because it's gene therapy. Because that's not what they're doing to you. They're not injecting you with killed or weakened infectious organisms. They're injecting you with mRNA technology, which is taking a code and manufacturing spike proteins. And you can ask Dr. Robert Malone, who we had on our Union of the Unwanted show, who sat with us for 2 hours and explained that the downside to his technology is that once you turn it on and it starts making those spike proteins, you can never turn it off. Isn't that weird? They just went ahead and changed the whole definition of vaccination right in the middle of, you couldn't wait and say, well, let's put this on the dry erase board of something we need to tackle once things calm down. Maybe we'll give it to 2023 or so. Then we'll go back in there. We need to reevaluate the definition of vaccination. No. No, they didn't wait. They did it right away. And my guess is they did it right away for legal reasons. But the internet never forgets. You dummies, we see what you're doing. Then there's also this. Remember and I know we've kind of gone over COVID to death, but there's so many, when you're talking about not believing your eyes and you're talking about the empire has no clothes and trying to tell you to believe things that aren't true, you have to talk about COVID because there was just so much there. You know, there's so many lies. There's so many times in which they said, don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you read. All that stuff is wrong. Only trust us. You know, as Jacinda Ardern said, if you're getting truth, if you're getting your information from someone else other than us, it's not the truth. The only place you get the truth is from us. So you aren't counted as actually vaccinated until 14 days after the second injection. Why is that? Do you know why that is? Do you know why it's important that you can go get a vaccine? Let's say this was, let's get in our time machine, go back a year. You go and you get your second vaccine and die. No, I'm kidding. You get your second vaccine and then your boss says, hey, are you fully vaccinated in order to work here? Your answer is, well, I took the second vaccine this morning, but legally I'm not fully vaccinated until 14 days from today. And your boss will go, oh, I guess that's because it takes 14 days for everything in the vaccine to kick in and really start offering that immunity protection. No. Mm-mm. No, no, that's what you might assume. And that might be a reasonable assumption to make. That's not the reason. The reason why you're not counted as fully vaccinated for the first 14 days is because the highest likelihood of you dropping dead is going to happen within the first 14 days. And if that happens, and it happened quite a lot, if you die after taking the second shot, like they inject you and you're like those people in the videos that just like slumped over in their chair and then fell over and then they dragged them out, while there's like a room of other people going, I think I've changed my mind. If you're that person and you drop dead right there, you count as an unvaccinated death because you are not fully vaccinated. So you are now an unvaccinated COVID death as opposed to what you should be, which is a vaccine injury death. You should be in the VAERS court. You should be recorded by the system. You should be, your family should be outraged, but you're not legally. That's why. Not because it takes 2 weeks for everything to kick in. The shots don't fucking work. They're never kicking in. I got news for you. If you're sitting around waiting, well, it's been a couple weeks and hopefully my shot's going to kick in. I'll save you the surprise. It's never kicking in. So the CDC also said that if unvaccinated. They want you, they said, set if a patient comes in that's unvaccinated and wants to get tested, set the cycle threshold to 40 so that you get, I mean, they just said set the cycle, the PCR test cycle threshold at 40. Now, if you've seen the Kerry Mullis video from 2019, which I'm almost positive they whacked him, I can't prove that, but let's be honest. If you know history, you know they whacked him. He's on video saying, if you set the cycle thresholds too high, you'll just get 90s, you just get false positives. All you're going to get is dead nucleotides. 97% false positives, all that stuff. Fauci even mentioned that. But the CDC said, if unvaxxed, set the cycle threshold to 40, which is guaranteed to give you false positives. If already vaxxed, then set the cycle threshold to 28 instead to try and make it look like a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Again, I ask you, is this what you would be doing if you were in the middle of an actual pandemic? Would you be playing around with numbers and terminologies and telling one group of people to set the test to one speed and another group of people to set the test at another speed, knowing damn well what happens when you do that? The CDC, I'm not telling you, they're a criminal organization. Get my first book, came out in 2017. I'm not new to this party. I was screaming at them back then. They're a vaccine company masquerading as a regulatory agency. I've been saying that for at least 5 years now. Because it's true. Because they make billions, multiple billions of dollars off of the patents that they own on the vaccines. And they're the regulatory agency that's supposed to be overseeing the vaccines. Explain to me how that's not a gigantic conflict of interest. CDC quietly created a new mortality category back in 2020. Of course, they didn't say anything about this to you and me. We found it in the notes that they didn't want you to see and then started screaming about it. But it's called PIC, which groups pneumonia, influenza, and COVID together. P in pneumonia is silent for those of you illiterates out there. Together, and they push all these things together and call it all COVID deaths in order to inflate and conflate the COVID deaths statistics. Once again, I ask you a simple question. Why are you trying to inflate death statistics? Why aren't you, if you're talking about statistics, I mean, in the real world, in like an honest society, that would be where you want the most accurate numbers you can get. You're trying to figure something out by making statistics out of these numbers. So why are you blurring the lines? If you had PIC, pneumonia, influenza, and COVID all together, it would make sense to break them up actually into three separate categories, because you're like, pneumonia, influenza, they're going to have to take a back seat. We have to focus on COVID. Well, they were broken up. They were individual categories. The CDC put them all together to create confusion. And because the COVID numbers weren't supporting it. But influenza, that's like when you saw the statistic that showed in 2019, there were 38 million cases of the flu. You know how many cases there were of the flu in 2020? 1,822. From 38 million to 1,822. That's a fucking miracle. Who won the Nobel Prize for eradicating the flu? The CDC. They just lumped all the numbers together and made it go away. Like, it's so obvious that I'm insulted. But if you understand that they needed the legality of the... they needed enough deaths caused by this thing, COVID, whatever. And they needed the legality of the emergency use authorization designation in order to kick off the pandemic and do the lockdowns and do this and do all that stuff. They had to have that. So they had to lie and they had to mess with the numbers. But of course, that's what you do when the empire is falling apart. And it's falling apart. So let's talk about the recession. because that really has been taking off lately, where it's one of the things that got me thinking about this in a big way, because a recession has always been two consecutive quarters of negative growth. Okay. It's a recession. It's not a death sentence. Okay. We don't need to fake it. Let's just be honest about this, but they can't, you know, like when the Biden administration is so dishonest. Now I say that fully recognizing that we came out of a Trump administration that was filled with all the swamp creatures that he said he was going to get rid of. And they're all there. So I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about the Biden administration. They're just pathological liars in every component of this. So is it a surprise that they want to redefine what a recession is? No, of course not. They've already shown no appetite to take any sort of accountability for anything, especially the economy, which they most definitely destroyed. I mean, Trump didn't do us any favors by printing all that money either. I mean, he kickstarted it, but Biden was more than happy to destroy what's left of the economy himself. Actually, truth be told, under Trump, the economy was fairly good, but the wheels were falling off towards the end, and it was gonna happen anyway. And then once you print all that money, you create inflation automatically. I mean, just by function of math, you create that. But don't worry, they changed the name of inflation too. We'll get to that in a second. So according to wh.gov, whitehouse.gov, what is a recession? While some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitutes a recession, that is neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. That's 100% disinformation. That's a fucking lie. It's 100% a lie. Two consecutive quarters of negative growth is a recession. That's how it's been defined. It's been defined that way the last 10 times that there were two consecutive quarters of negative growth. It was called a recession. The last 10 times it's happened in America, they called it a recession. When Biden's in office and it happens, it's magically now not a recession. 81 million votes. I'm starting to think that all those bots on Twitter that Elon Musk is complaining about showed up and voted for Biden. But I would like to remind you what Biden's predecessor, Chocolate Jesus, Barack Obama, who drone bombed funerals and then hit them 30 minutes later when the first responders arrived. I want to remind you that he legalized propaganda in America through the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 that was stuffed in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013. It legalized propaganda inside America to be used on Americans through the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. So we're not pointing these lies out and as like, hey, what do you think? Do you think they're lying? I'm not asking if you think they're lying to us. I'm telling you they're lying to us. There's no question about it. It's measurable. It's provable. They tried to redefine inflation by rightly saying, this is okay. Too many people with too much money chasing too few goods. But they pretend to not know where these people were getting this extra money from. You know, the too many people with too much money chasing too few goods. That'll create price inflation. But let me ask the question. Why do these people have too much money? Because we turned on the printing press and printed $16 trillion in 2020? That's why. That's why there's too much money out there. They pretend it's not the Fed. You know who they blame for inflation? You're going to get a laugh out of this. They blame millennials. I mean, after Putin, of course. I'm not kidding. They blame millennials. Would you like to hear what the White House said the reason for inflation is? This, hold on to your hats here. They blame the millennials for holding off 7 years later than other generations to buy homes and cars. Then all of them, all like 92 million of them, all decided to buy homes and cars within the past 2 years, all at the same time. And that's what caused prices to go up. That's what they said. They said that it's all the millennials' fault for first waiting too long to buy houses and cars, and then all deciding in the same 2 year period to all go buy houses and cars all at once. And that's the reason why you have. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about inflation. Don't feel bad when you go to the grocery store and everything costs you twice as much. Don't feel bad. You know who you should punch? Not those Nazis. Punch a millennial. How dare they go out and buy those houses and cars? How dare they coordinate? The millennials can't coordinate where they're going for dinner. You think they're all coordinating? Let's all go buy houses and cars at the same time? This is not a monolithic group. This is a group of people that all have different ideas about a variety of things, but they all magically came together within 2 years and decided, you know what? Let's all get together and buy houses. Let's all drive the prices of houses and cars up by all buying them at the exact same time. That doesn't make any sense at all. None. There's no sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not supported by facts. This is what you say when you are losing the battle. The info war. When you're losing the info war is what you say. So inflation, an increase in the amount of money and credit. That's what inflation is. Today's definition means rising consumer prices as measured by the consumer price index. So the traditional term for inflation, an increase in the amount of money and credit, that rightly blames who creates the money and credit, Federal Reserve. The new definition, rising consumer prices as measured by the consumer price index, blames corporations instead. They can't blame the banks. They'll never blame the banks. Jerome Powell's out there going, I don't know why there's inflation. Really? Seriously? I bet if I waterboarded you, you would give me some answers about inflation. You would say, okay, we admit it's because we created $16 trillion out of thin air for no good reason and gave it to our friends on Wall Street and the biggest corporations in the world, who then use that money to buy back their stock prices and send the stock prices through the roof. That's what happened. No, they had to change again. They had to change the definition again. Talking about consumer prices measured by consumer price. It's none of that. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be. Inflation, an increase in the amount of money and credit, period, end of story. That's the definition. When you start dragging CPI into this, well, you see, it's a little bit more complicated. No, it's not. If you're trying to make this more complicated, that's because you're trying to bullshit me. I don't need to be bullshitted. I understand what inflation is. I also understand what it is not. So they're forcing a switch from fossil fuels, like a fossil fuel paradigm, into this green technology, which is not ready for it. Infrastructure isn't ready. The technology itself is not up to snuff. You haven't been able to get the price of these fuel cells, these batteries down. Like a battery goes out in a car and they're like, well, it'll be $14,000 to replace that. You're like, the car's not even worth $14,000. So we're not ready for prime time with the Green New Deal. Okay. But that's not going to stop them. They're still going to have Pete Buttigieg up there, transportation secretary, telling everybody, let them eat Teslas. They're detached from reality. They don't understand what's going on in middle America or just normal America. They want you to buy electric cars while simultaneously asking you not to plug them all in at the same time, because you'll create a strain on the grid and possibly we'll have to bring back rolling blackouts or brownouts or whatever, because you can't have too much stress on the grid. Hey man, so like we don't get to drive our Teslas during the summer? No. Okay, I'll pass. I'm not interested in that. Electric semis, electric 18-wheelers. got to have them in California. We're going to be the greenest state in the world. You can't come in here without that, without your electric semi. Like, oh, where do I get the electric semi? Well, they're going to make them in a couple years. Oh, so wait, they don't exist right now? No, but they're gonna. All right, so what the fuck am I supposed to do about all this stuff that needs to get trucked from one place to the other? Wind turbines need oil. They need oil to run. Isn't that funny? Have you seen the pictures of the Tesla charging stations? And then like right in the background, you see like sort of like a fenced off area where they've got like a generator going there. You're like, oh, what is that? Oh, shit. We're selling strategic oil reserves off to China. I mean, everything is crazy. I also have to mention this, since we're talking about pandemics, and we were talking about pandemics in this. They, if you go back to the swine flu, if you go back to that, like when the, 2003, the World Health Organization changed the definition of pandemic by removing the severity of illness from the requirement of a pandemic phase so that the swine flu would qualify as a pandemic. So in 2003, an influenza pandemic occurs when a new influenza virus appears against which the human population has no immunity, resulting in several simultaneous epidemics worldwide with enormous numbers of death and illness. But on May 4th, 2009, just 6 years later, and just 1 month before the H1N1 pandemic was declared, the phrase enormous numbers of death and illness had been removed. And they changed it. It said an influenza pandemic may occur when a new influenza virus appears against which the human population has no immunity. And they tried to inject you with a bunch of crazy vaccines back when the swine flu happened too. The world, this will come as no surprise to you, but the World Health Organization lied and said that they never changed the definition, even though there's two different definitions from them. They lied and said, we didn't do it. But again, this is the same World Health Organization that got busted putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccines in Kenya in 2014, and later had to admit after they first lied and said they didn't do that either, because they're liars and they lie about everything. They then later had to admit when it came out, and they admitted that not only had they been putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccines in Kenya, but they had been doing it for a decade and it wasn't limited to Kenya. So we've got, they're changing words. What else are they changing? Changing labels too. Do you remember this? Let me take you back to the past, like maybe a year or so, maybe 2 years ago. Aunt Jemima, gone. It's now Pearl Milling Company. Cleveland Indians, gone. Cleveland Guardians now. We don't want to be racist against those Indians. Washington Redskins, again, we don't want to be racist. Washington Commanders. They'll still suck. Cream of wheat. Like, what do they have against wheat? They don't have anything against cream of wheat. They just took the black guy off the cover, though. That's super, super duper racist, by the way. Land O'Lakes, Indian gone. You know how they did all that. We talked about this before. It's so funny. They're like, we are committed to being the most anti-racist people. So what we've done is we've taken all the black and brown faces off of all the retail products, like, to make it what, more racist? Mission accomplished. Mrs. Buttersworth, they hate racist syrup. First Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Buttersworth, they came for her. Eskimo pie, was the Eskimo lobby giving you a hard time about that? Like, what are we going to do? All those Eskimos are picketing in front of our plant where we make the Eskimo pies. Edmonton Eskimos of the Canadian Football League, they got rid of that team. Is this a slur to call somebody an Eskimo? I never thought that was. I don't think it is. I think it's like that, like Latinx when you go and you're, everyone's like, you know, they prefer to be called Latinx because it's more gender inclusive or anything. And you're like, oh, really? Well, let me go do this. I'm going to go down to, I don't know, someplace where there's a lot of Latin people. And I'm going to ask them. 98% of the people surveyed said they don't like Latinx and they don't want anything. And they don't want to be called that. It's offensive to them. Birthing people. Mostly peaceful protests. Uncle Ben's Rice, Dr. Seuss books. Dixie Chicks had to pull a dick. I mean, you know, it never ends. It never ends. You bow down to these people, you will be bowing down to them forever. There's no finish line. They won't let you out. There's no, you'll never make them happy. They'll always have a list of grievances. But this is exactly what you do when you're trying to hide the truth. You start changing the words. You start changing the way people view reality. You try, at least. And this will work. You know, changing pandemic, changing vaccination, changing vaccine, changing herd immunity, changing what fully vaccinated is. It'll catch a bunch of people. A bunch of people that aren't paying attention to details, which is, let's be honest, most people. We're all going to get caught in this language change on some things. It's just it's about paying attention and being aware and not letting them try to sneak this stuff by you. But they're going to, that's their job to try and do it, and it's our job to try and catch them. But I've never been more embarrassed to be living in America and watching this charade and being told to not believe what I see in real life, to only trust information that's given to me by the state. You know, that sounds like something a scammer would do. That sounds like something an abusive spouse would do. Don't listen to anybody else. You only listen to me. Yeah, but it says right here that everything you're telling me is wrong. Don't read that. I'm the only source of information. They have to. Because if you start using critical thinking, you will clearly discover that the empire has no clothes. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.